Welcome to the GCSE Art and Design Study Podcast. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most exciting and visually rich topics in your OCR specification, surface pattern. That's topic 4.3. Whether you're just starting your project or you're putting the finishing touches on your portfolio, this episode is going to give you everything you need to nail your marks. So grab a sketchbook, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Surface pattern is everywhere. It's on your clothes, your wallpaper, your phone case, your favorite mug. But for your GCSE, it's so much more than decoration. It's a discipline with a rich history, a precise technical language, and a set of skills that examiners are looking for very specifically. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly what those examiners want to see and how to give it to them. Let's start with the big picture. In OCR GCSE Art and Design, your work is assessed across four assessment objectives, each worth exactly 25% of your marks. That's ao ohm, ao dois, ao tres, and ao quatro. For surface pattern, think of them like this. AO1 is your research and contextual understanding. AO2 is your experimentation and refinement. AO3 is your recording and observational drawing. And AO4 is your final outcome. Every piece of work you produce needs to evidence all four. Keep that in mind throughout this episode. Now let's get into the core concepts. The heart of surface pattern design is the repeat unit, sometimes called the tile or the motif. A motif is a single design element, perhaps a leaf, a geometric shape, a bird, or an abstract form that is then repeated across a surface according to a specific structure. Understanding repeat structures is absolutely fundamental, and examiners will be looking for evidence that you've explored and understood them. There are four main repeat structures you need to know. First, the block repeat. This is the simplest. Your motif is placed in a regular grid, each unit aligned perfectly with the ones above, below, and beside it. Think of it like tiles on a bathroom floor. It creates a formal, structured, often quite bold visual effect. Second, the brick repeat. Here, alternate rows are offset by half a unit horizontally, just like the way bricks are laid in a wall. This creates a more dynamic, flowing rhythm across the surface and is particularly effective with elongated or directional motifs. Third, the half drop repeat. Similar to the brick, but the offset is vertical rather than horizontal. Alternate columns are dropped down by half a unit. This is a classic structure used extensively in wallpaper and textile design, and it creates a diagonal movement across the pattern that feels very natural and organic. Fourth, the OG repeat. This is the most complex and historically significant. The OG is an S-shaped curve that creates interlocking pointed oval shapes, a bit like a diamond lattice with curved sides. Motifs sit within these OG shapes, and the result is an incredibly rich, layered pattern. You'll see this structure in Islamic geometric art, in William Morris's most celebrated wallpapers, and in many historical textile traditions. Speaking of William Morris, let's talk about key practitioners, because AO1 marks are awarded for demonstrating genuine critical understanding of artists and designers who have influenced your work. It's not enough to say, "I looked at William Morris." You need to show that you understand what he was doing, why he was doing it, and how it connects to your own creative decisions. William Morris, working in the second half of the 19th century, was a central figure in the arts and crafts movement. He was deeply opposed to the industrialization of design and believed passionately in the value of handcraft and natural forms. His patterns, such as Strawberry Thief, Willow Bough, and Acanthus, are characterized by intricate botanical motifs, rich jewel-toned color palettes, and complex repeat structures, often using the OG or half drop. What makes Morris so relevant to your studies is his rigorous design process. He drew obsessively from nature, simplified those observations into flat, stylized motifs, and then engineered those motifs into seamless repeats. That process, from observation to simplification to repeat, is exactly the journey your examiners want to see in your portfolio. Lucien Day is another practitioner you absolutely must know. Working in mid-20th century Britain, Day brought a modernist sensibility to textile design. Her 1951 design, Calyx, created for the Festival of Britain, was revolutionary. It used abstract, linear botanical forms in a loose, asymmetric arrangement, rejecting the dense, historicist approach of Morris in favor of something lighter, more contemporary, and more optimistic. Day's work shows you that surface pattern can be minimal and graphic, as well as dense and decorative, and that the choice of aesthetic approach should always be driven by context and intent. Then there's the Memphis Group, the Italian design collective founded by Ettore Sottsass in Milan in 1981. Memphis was a deliberate provocation against the minimalism and functionalism that had dominated design for decades. Their patterns were bold, brash, and deliberately kitsch, Geometric shapes and clashing colors, squiggly lines, polka dots, and abstract forms that reference pop culture and postmodernism. If you're working on a surface pattern project with a contemporary, urban, or youth-oriented context, Memphis is an incredibly powerful reference. Their work demonstrates how pattern can carry cultural meaning and challenge aesthetic conventions. For more contemporary reference, consider digital textile designers like Timorous Beasties, the Glasgow-based studio known for their subversive take on traditional pattern, or designers working in digital sublimation printing, where patterns are printed directly onto synthetic fabrics using heat transfer. Digital tools have completely transformed surface pattern design, allowing for infinite color variation, precise repeat construction, and rapid prototyping. If you're using Adobe Illustrator or Photoshop in your project, you're engaging with this contemporary practice, and your annotations should reflect that awareness. Now let's talk about the practical skills that will earn you marks in AO2 and AO3. AO3 is about recording, and for surface pattern, this means observational drawing. This is one of the areas where candidates most commonly lose marks, so pay close attention. Examiners want to see that your motifs have come from direct observation of primary sources. Real objects, plants, textures, architectural details, whatever is relevant to your concept. Secondary source imagery, meaning photographs from the internet or other people's designs, is not sufficient on its own. You need to get out your sketchbook and draw from life. The process should be visible in your portfolio. Start with detailed observational drawings that capture the complexity and character of your source. Then progressively simplify. Reduce the form to its essential lines and shapes, removing unnecessary detail while retaining the visual identity of the subject. This process of abstraction and simplification is a sophisticated design skill, and examiners will credit it explicitly. Show multiple stages of this simplification process. Show how a detailed drawing of a fern frond becomes a clean, flat, stylized motif suitable for repetition. For AO2, experimentation is key. Don't just produce one version of your repeat. Try the same motif in a block repeat and a half drop repeat and see how the visual effect changes. Experiment with scale. What happens when you make the motif very large? What happens when you make it tiny and dense? Experiment with color, a warm palette versus a cool palette, a high contrast palette versus a tonal one. Each experiment should be accompanied by annotation that analyses the visual impact, not just describes what you did. This brings me to one of the most common mistakes I see in portfolios. Descriptive annotation. Candidates write things like, I used red and blue in my pattern, or I tried a half drop repeat. That's description, and it earns very few marks. What examiners want is analysis and justification. I selected a warm palette of terracotta and ochre to evoke the handmade quality of traditional block printed textiles, referencing the earthy tones found in William Morris's early work. That's analysis. It tells the examiner what you did, why you did it, and how it connects to your contextual research. Every annotation should answer the question, why? Let's move on to printing techniques, because AO2 also covers your exploration of processes. There are several printing methods relevant to surface pattern, and you should ideally experiment with more than one. Screen printing is one of the most widely used techniques in professional textile production. A mesh screen is coated with a light-sensitive emulsion. A design is exposed onto the screen using UV light, and then ink is pushed through the open areas of the mesh onto the fabric or paper below. Each color requires a separate screen, which is why color separation is such a critical skill. Inaccurate registration, meaning the different color layers don't line up precisely, is a very common technical failure that will cost you marks in AO4. Lino printing is a more accessible technique that produces bold, graphic results. You carve your motif into a lino block, apply ink with a roller, and press the block onto your surface. For repeat patterns, you need to be very precise about the placement of each print, and consistent ink coverage is essential. Uneven pressure or patchy ink application will compromise the quality of your repeat. Digital sublimation printing is the contemporary counterpart to these traditional methods. Using specialist software, you construct your repeat digitally, then print onto transfer paper and heat press it onto synthetic fabric. The results can be extraordinarily precise and vibrant, and the technique allows for photographic quality imagery within a repeat structure. If you use this method, make sure your portfolio evidences the design process that led to the digital file, including your observational drawings and motif development, because the examiners need to see the thinking behind the technology. Now, let's spend some time on exam technique and common mistakes, because this is where marks are won and lost. The most important thing to understand about your OCR Art and Design assessment is that it is entirely portfolio-based for the coursework component with an additional externally set task. There is no written exam in the traditional sense, but the quality of your written annotation within your portfolio is absolutely critical. Think of your annotations as your written exam integrated into your practical work. For the externally set task, you'll be given a theme or starting point and a preparation period, followed by a timed practical exam. Use the preparation period wisely. Research your contextual references thoroughly, develop your motifs, test your repeat structures, and plan your printing process in detail. Candidates who walk into the timed exam with a clear plan and tested techniques consistently outperform those who try to improvise. One of the most common mistakes is failing to show the full journey from initial research to final outcome. Examiners use the phrase sustained investigation to describe what they're looking for. They want to see that you've engaged deeply with your subject over time, not that you've produced a polished final piece without any visible process. Every sketch, every failed experiment, every color test is evidence of that sustained investigation. Don't throw anything away. Another common mistake is relying too heavily on digital tools without evidencing manual skills. Digital work is absolutely valid and can earn top marks, but your portfolio needs to show that you understand the underlying design principles, not just that you can use software. Combine digital and manual approaches wherever possible. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz to test your knowledge. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, and then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. Name the 4 main repeat structures used in surface pattern design. Pause. The answers are block, brick, half drop, and OG. Question 2. Which arts and crafts designer created the pattern known as Strawberry Thief? Pause. The answer is William Morris. Question 3. What does AO3 assess in OCR GCSE Art and Design? Pause. AO3 assesses the recording of ideas, observations, and insights relevant to intentions using a variety of methods. Question 4. What is the term for the single design element that is repeated across a surface? Pause. The answer is a motif. Question 5. What is the key difference between descriptive annotation and analytical annotation? Pause. Descriptive annotation says what you did. Analytical annotation explains why you did it and evaluates its visual impact. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review the relevant sections of this episode. Let's wrap up with a summary of the key points. Surface pattern design is assessed across 4 equally weighted assessment objectives: research and context, experimentation and refinement, recording and observation, and final outcome. You must demonstrate knowledge of key practitioners, including William Morris, Lucien Day, and the Memphis Group. And you must show how their work has genuinely influenced your own creative decisions. Your motifs must originate from primary source observation and develop through a visible process of simplification and abstraction. You must experiment with multiple repeat structures and printing techniques, and your annotations must analyze and justify your choices rather than simply describing them. For the externally set task, preparation is everything. Test your techniques, plan your process, and walk in with confidence. You've got this. Surface pattern is one of the most creatively rich topics in the specification, and if you approach it with genuine curiosity and rigorous documentation, the marks will follow. Good luck with your project, keep experimenting, and I'll see you in the next episode.